Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Buzzing About Romance. This is our Wednesday night book club styling sip and discuss episodes. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Heather. Hey, Heather.
Hello, everybody.
So this week we are discussing Where We End by Ashley Muniz. This is book four in the Stone Riders MC. How many of us started at book four and how many of us started in the beginning? Jenny's book four, Heather's book four, Amanda started at book one. How much are you having anxiety because you started at book four, Heather?
Not much.
No.
I mean, I'm probably the odd man out in this whole crew. I can do this and be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I read book one and two, skipped book three, read book four. What about you, Jenny?
I didn't have any problem starting at four.
No. Are you going to go back? And
I am listening to book one when I should be doing other things.
Well, we all have those moments. And Amanda, you just said, screw it. I need to do all four books in a row.
Yeah, well, I've had the series on my TBR for a while. So I was like, well, I'm just going to use this opportunity to make, you know, to like go in and read them all. So,
yeah. Okay. So who wants to share all the things in the doc? Who's on it? You got it up, Heather? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see here. The release date was July 26, 24, so this summer. It is Stone Riders MC Book 4. The genre is romance, motorcycle club. The tropes are close proximity, second chance, MC club, childhood friends, small town. I would say like friends to lovers.
But they aren't really friendly.
I suppose. Third app breakup, no. Put out percentage is 36% with a flashback, and then 44% is present day. Author notes on page, like trigger warnings would be on page essay, violence, child neglect. This author does a really great job with kind of content warnings. And it is available on Kindle Unlimited, not in audio yet, but I think it's coming.
October, it's coming.
Yep.
What did she call it? Content advisory?
I think so,
yeah.
Which I felt was so incredibly well done.
I agree.
And it didn't give any spoilers away, but it's written such a way that you know going into that book that there are going to be some tough pieces to this.
Yes, and the book opened early enough that you could see it without scrolling back.
That was my next question. Where did it open when you opened the ebook on your Kindle?
I think it was, I don't know if it was like the first, like, it was, I think maybe the dedication page is where it opened for me.
Nice.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's something about all the women.
Yeah.
Like, this is for all the women that are survived or something.
Yeah. So that was a really good spot.
Hold on one second, guys. I'm a little green on the screen at the moment.
Okay. Yeah.
There, I'm back.
You know what else she...
Go ahead.
You know what else she does? She has a, like, motorcycle club terms, yes, which was super helpful. I mean, I've read motorcycle, but I reread it just kind of to re-immerse myself in it.
Yeah, it's interesting. She does the 1% piece, talks about what that exactly means, what we're looking at when she writes Motorcycle Club. And I will say, in the grand scheme of Motorcycle Club romances, I think this one was not super dark.
Well, there was, like, I would tell people maybe not to get too attached with some of the characters because people die on page.
Yeah.
I think this was the darkest out of the four. But I mean, there's some darkness.
But it's not as dark as like some of the Motorcycle Club books, I don't know, I felt like the way they treated the women was more respectful than we get in some Motorcycle Club books.
Yeah, that's true.
The Stone Riders for sure do. Maybe not all the clubs. But
not all the clubs.
Yeah, like the main characters respect their women, but there's definitely a lot of disrespect.
But I didn't even think in the previous earlier books, I mean, they talk about the sweet butts and the girls that kind of get passed around, but it's not the sole focus. Like a lot of the older club members are in relationships.
They have old ladies. They're called old ladies.
Yeah, and I hate that term.
I'm like, love it for some odd reason.
Do you want like Justin to start referring to you as his old lady?
I dare him. First of all, I'm younger, so that won't work. I don't know. I feel like they say it as like a term of endearment, right?
It is. I don't know. There's something.
I don't think so.
I feel like a lot of times women in Motorcycle Club romances are treated like the ball and chain. Like they are the thing they are dragging along. But I don't feel like in this book that with Natty, she was being dragged along. Now, she gets kidnapped and there's some violence and things happen. But I don't feel like Silas was disrespectful towards her.
Silas wasn't, but she definitely dealt with like the disrespect with Dirk and then Alex.
Alec and
but they're the villains.
But she still had to deal with it.
But they're the villains, they're the bad guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get too deep into this book. So if we look at mafia romances versus Motorcycle Club romances, typically in the mafia, the women are almost worshipped.
Yeah.
They are kind of put up on a pedestal, you know, catered to, treated like queens. I mean, even if they're being locked in a room and kidnapped, they're protected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I feel like in Motorcycle Club romances, which is where my struggle comes into, the women are often treated like disposable. Like we can get rid of her and someone new comes along.
Yeah, I think so. In a lot of them, but not all of them.
So that when I say that this one didn't feel as dark, I don't feel like there was that disrespect towards Natty and the other heroines in this series.
I would agree. I think some of the other men are like obsessed with their old ladies or their women, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, we are going to spoil this book because
there isn't a way not to.
You can't talk about this book and not spoil it. So if you haven't read this book and you prefer to not get spoilers, you can fast forward to the last 5 minutes where we'll let you know books that are comparable and if it's a thumbs up or thumbs down. Can also check the reviews on the website and go from there. But for the course of this discussion, we're going to spoil the shit out of this book. Book picks up as book 3 is ending.
Yes.
And so for those that didn't read book 3, were you lost here in the beginning as to exactly...
Not really.
The only thing that you miss is like the epilogue of book 3 is the part where she gets kidnapped. That's really the only thing that crosses over. So if you don't read book 3 and you walk in where she's been kidnapped, that's really all you've missed. It's not even really discussed so much at the end of book 3.
And there's a flashback though. So you like see how it happens or hear like,
Yeah, you get enough information to connect the dots.
Yep.
So in the start of this book, Natty has been kidnapped by Alec and by Dirk.
Fable.
But we do not know, at this point, we do not know what Natty's connection to all of this is. We go in thinking that she's just been kind of living with the Stone Riders under their umbrella protection, but kind of doing her own thing.
Yeah. There are a couple of hints. You get a little more hint that she and Silas have a deeper relationship in book three, but not a lot.
Yeah, you get some breadcrumbs in book
Yeah.
two,
Yeah.
because some of the characters question, like, why do you keep coming around? Why are you here? The heroine in book two kind of puts Silas, on notice, like,
Well, even in like book, because I've only listened to book one besides reading book four. Even in book one, like they kind of question her and she's like, which, like, if you read book four first, you're like, she's lying. She's lying.
So what did you think overall about Natty as a character? Was she likable? Were you rooting for her? Did you think she played a little too much into the damsel in distress? What are our thoughts on Natty?
I liked her a lot, and then that's also because I can see her throughout the series. So in the first three books, like she's really a big support, like to the other three girls, like Callie and Laura and Penn, like so it was nice to see her finally see what's going on with her and stuff. So I liked her overall. Like I thought, there was a little bit of the damsel in distress and like the fact that she had no idea what was going on with Silas and his mom and like all these like hidden things and agendas that were going, but I liked her overall.
Heather, did you think she was a weak character, or did you see some of that like quiet strength within her?
I saw the quiet strength, especially like when she was kidnapped. And then I think sometimes flashbacks are hard, but I feel like it was really important here to see like how her and Silas matured. And you kind of saw over time how Natty kind of came into her own. She was like, I'm going to take this opportunity that I'm with the Stone Riders and live the life I want to live.
Jenny, what were your thoughts on Miss Natty?
Yeah, I would agree with Heather. Like, without those flashbacks, maybe she wouldn't have seemed as strong, because you kind of see like her innocence get like slowly like go away. I mean, they're not in an ideal circumstance to begin with, but then like she has this situation with Dirk and like she doesn't seem to really understand what's going on at first. And I was like, really? Come on. But yeah, you get to see it like as she gets a little smarter.
So this author's writing style has written this whole series with these alternating flashbacks. And that was one of the things I really struggled with in book one, because for like the first 50% of book one, we only get the hero's POV in past tense in these flashbacks. We do not get his POV in present tense until almost 60% into the book. I struggle with flashbacks because I don't need you to tell me everything. Sometimes I think some of those flashbacks, because the way this author writes, we get just a couple of breadcrumbs, but it is not enough to make a sandwich. Like, we still are going to have things revealed to us in the present tense. So that flashback just starts to feel like wasted pages. Because, like, we don't learn about what happened to Natty when she was with the Death Riders. Is
Death
that
Raiders,
Death
yeah.
Riders? We don't learn about that in a flashback. We learn about that in present tense.
Yeah.
We don't learn that she and Silas are technically married in a flashback. We learn about it in present
Yeah.
tense.
That was like
Okay, but you got some my wife moments. How much did you love those, Heather?
love on my wife moments. And he pulled it out at like the right time. I was like, yes. I mean, like, I was like, oh. Just like Alec was.
Like I said, I just kind of struggled a little bit with the flashbacks, because it just, I think they were just so frequent.
They are very
That was a
frequent.
lot.
Yeah.
And I would have rather have seen, like, one of the things, and I know that we get what, like, the first 25% she's kidnapped and then rescued. One of the things that we had in earlier books were these really dynamic girl gang female relationships. You talked about like how she connected with the other girls in the earlier books. I don't feel like we
Yeah.
got that in this book.
No, we didn't. Not as much. And I mean, I'm glad they kind of like showed up for her, but you definitely don't get it as much in this book as you did in the previous books.
And I felt like that was missing because Natty was such a the nucleus of that group, you know, come bake bread with me. And then you had Red and the pieces with Red, like I cried.
Oh,
I was like, a lot of people die in this book
it
now
was
that I think.
rough. It
Well,
was
but
rough.
real rough.
I cried when she shared that she was experiencing early onset dementia.
Yes.
And then she gets killed by Fable
Not just her, Brooks too.
and
That was
Brooks
the
too.
part that I was like, oh dear. Like,
You weren't out at
that
that
was
part.
really hard to read.
I didn't cry, but I, felt like I should be. So.
I was crying. I like had puffy eyes the next day. I was like, oh. Because I think Natty took the opportunity with the Stone Riders to build herself a family that she never had. She really just had Silas and Sasha, or right, Sasha. So those were her only people. And she has this huge family now of people that love and care about her. And she, not only does she, do they love her, she loves them. And like that fulfills her. And I think that's part of what kept Silas away was like, she finally had what she always wanted, was a family.
So let's talk about Silas's character arc. I think that at the end of the day, the flashbacks helped him the most because he wasn't completely unlikable. I think if we'd only had Silas in current times, I'd have chucked him out a fucking window. Because the games that he's playing with his mother.
His mom is,
She's a
I
piece,
don't,
she's a piece of
I do not
trash.
like her.
Not a huge fan.
I don't even think the flashbacks helped me with Silas. I couldn't
Well,
get there.
you just could not get there at
I
all.
couldn't get there.
I did not get enough resolve, like, of his reasoning for how long this went on. Because it's not like something that started even 2 years ago, like when she was like,
16 years.
it's been going on like forever. Like, oh my gosh, get your shit together and just do what you gotta do.
Kill your dad and just be
Yes.
Well, and then it was very anticlimactic when he did.
right.
But I did cry
Did
when
you?
Alex.
Oh, when, oh, okay.
I did too.
I didn't. I was like, good. I was like, good riddance. I was over it.
See, and
Like,
I kind of wanted him to have, I wanted Alec to have a little more redemption. I felt like.
I mean, because she couldn't even say that she forgave him or anything. Like, Silas was the one sitting there saying, it's okay, she's gonna be fine or whatever. And then I was like, okay, I'm like, this is just, I was just like, okay, I'm done. I'm over it.
I felt like the author had all these ideas on how to make Silas this complex, tortured soul. And instead of picking one or two things, she said, oh, hey, look, here's a basket full. We're just going to use them all. And it was just too much. Like, I get a tortured poet, but he can't be a tortured poet and a assassin that crucifies people upside down for a motorcycle club and working behind the scenes to kill his dad. And also, supposedly, this very romantic, thoughtful, engaging friend.
And he's also following her the whole time.
Yeah, stalking. Like, I mean, I don't even, yeah. I mean, we're definitely in stalker territory here.
Heather, did you like Silas?
I mean, I didn't hate him. I felt like he probably could have groveled a lot more than he did. But yeah.
I think part of mine too was also like book two is my favorite.
Okay.
And he's real bad in that book. And I don't think I just don't think I could mentally like get over it.
I really
Oh.
liked book two, and I felt like book two out of the four book, or out of the three of the four books that I've read, book two had the most well thought out plot line.
Yes, and the least amount of flashbacks.
The least amount of flashbacks, because you really couldn't, because they didn't really have a history.
Who's in book two?
Killian and Laura.
Okay.
And I did. I absolutely loved the Rachel piece.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of this book.
In this book.
Yeah.
Killian's mom.
Yeah.
Because, and that's the other thing in this series. And again, I think it's a struggle with Motorcycle Club. The mothers, for the most part, are just twerpy, derpy, stupid. And we're supposed to have these women that we're looking up to that are these strong, capable, like, look, they're surviving in this club. But they're learning from drug addicts, from manipulative bitches like Sasha, or, you know, Laura's mom was just like arm candy and a trophy wife.
Well, yeah, but her dad's like a senator.
Right.
But yeah. But yeah, the moms in this series are not, none of them are.
It was interesting how, you know, Sasha taught Silas and Natty Latin because they couldn't talk around. It was like everything was so secretive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That piece was interesting.
Yeah, and see, and I think that was an easy way instead of being like, oh, they made up their own language, because you do have children that kind of will make up their own language and talk in code and stuff. And don't you think that, like, making it Latin made it elevated a little bit more?
I think that Silas's mom was super manipulative in the sense that she was trying to get him. Like, he didn't have two supportive parents. Like, his dad was a jackass, and then his mom was trying to like get him to take over his, like, you know what I mean, they were both like using him, and it didn't feel great.
They're both using him to do their dirty work, and like I don't know, it would be helpful to know Sasha's point of view, because like she just like uses her body as a weapon and seems to have no qualms about like who she opens it to.
Yep.
Yes.
And she's also just a piece of trash. And I read the epilogue all the way to the end, like I promise I do for these episodes.
The bonus epilogue or the actual epilogue?
I read all the things at the end of the book until it stopped. I did not download anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like, why are you even letting her in the room with your child? Like, no. And I don't know that the whole, like, I'm going to be a farmer thing fits.
Grow some lemons.
It would make sense to me. It would make more sense to me if they, like, went back to having a garden and farm and do chickens and do, like, the farmer's market, like Natty had done before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't understand the significance of lemons. Did I miss something early in the early pages?
It was, no, he stumbled upon this house and the caretakers or whatever, like he was picking lemons for them. And I think it just, that was the only reference as far as I can tell.
There were a couple times when Lance, that was his second command, right?
Yeah.
Said like, you smell like lemons. So
you're like, dirty, but you smell like lemons. What's going on?
Yeah. Okay. I missed that.
I missed that, but okay, here's my other thought. Do lemons grow in Virginia?
Actually, I meant to look that up, and I forgot.
This is the hill country of Virginia, too. Like, we're not talking on the shore. We're talking in the mountains.
That's a good question.
I just...
It says in greenhouses.
But not an orchard full of lemons.
It does not appear so, according to Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're grown indoors.
Yeah, because it's not warm enough.
Well, yeah, I wondered and I meant to look it up and I totally forgot.
Well, I just looked it up and you cannot grow them in Minnesota.
So. We cannot grow lemons in Minnesota, just so we all know. I just thought that it was like, okay, I don't really think of Virginia in lemons.
Apples, maybe.
Yeah.
I think they mentioned at the end that he had added apples, right? At the in the epilogue
yeah, there
or
was,
something.
Yeah,
right?
There was other fruit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe she just likes lemon.
Or maybe, like, yeah, I was going to say maybe it means something to her.
Or
personally.
Life gives you lemons, grow
possibly,
some. I don't know.
Possibly. I don't. I liked her writing style.
Yeah.
But I do think that she is one of those types of writers that likes to throw everything at the wall and doesn't necessarily edit herself down, which is why we get alternating flashback chapters. Because she doesn't know how to tell the story in a way that shows us through banter, conversation, to give us that history we needed. Did we need the frog pond hunting scenes?
No.
I mean, one or two of the wardrobe scenes made sense, right? So that we could understand how much danger. But I think you could have written that in a prologue or one flashback scene. I don't know that we needed it every other chapter for 32 chapters.
Oh, is that how long it was? I don't know.
I don't know. It just, what were your thoughts on the fact that they had had this secret marriage? We know he says, he kind of blurts out, "You're my wife," that they married young in secrecy. Do you feel like enough hints were given that that was believable? Or do you again feel like this was a, let's throw something at the wall?
I didn't have a problem with that piece. Like, I believed it. Like,
me too.
I don't know if it was necessarily hinted at enough, but you knew there was something big going on, like relationship wise. So I didn't have a problem with that piece.
My struggle was I felt like she kind of painted herself into a corner and didn't know how to unpaint herself. So she needed something to be a big reveal to stop everybody in motion so she could reset the room.
I felt like Natty really pushed it. Like, she was like, "I want to get married now." And I think because she was feeling the pressure of Dirk. And then that would give her the opportunity to be like, "Well, I'm married to Silas." Like, if it came up, like, that would stop him. And Silas didn't understand that because she wasn't open with him about everything that was happening. And then his mom also, like, basically forced her to lie to him.
Yeah.
Well, I think for Natty, like, some of it was if they got married, maybe he would come back more often, or like they would finally move on from, because that seemed to be like the overall goal was to like get away from the club.
And to get him to stay, just to stop leaving her.
Right.
Yeah. Because his constant leaving felt like, I think in that, and I think it was unintentional. We were supposed to feel like he was being pulled in several directions.
Right.
But I do think that some of those directions cleared up a little too easy for like the emotional impact she was going through.
Dad is supposed to be this. Oh, you mean the emotional? Okay.
Well, not even the, but just overall, like, she cleaned up all those pieces, all those things that were pulling at him very quickly, and he could just retire and become a lemon farmer in Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it all cleared up so easily. Like right now, it's like, why couldn't some of it have cleared up for? I mean, I get the point. I get that, you know, you're looking for the, you know, the storyline or whatever there to create the conflict. But yeah, it was convenient.
I think it's also, go ahead, Heather.
I was super surprised about how like there was so much fluctuating between all the different clubs. Like, that is something that I've never really read. In like, there are people who are like allies or whatever, they're not enemies, but that was interesting to me too, especially how the women kind of hopped around.
This whole series is kind of like that. The other clubs come in and out with an ease that even though they're supposed to be the enemies. And then so is there anything else in the main part of the book we want to talk about? Because I want to talk about the epilogue. Because I read it, so now I have to critique it.
I was really... really hated the part where like Sasha like trades her and then like no one's talking about it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like no one's figured this out.
Yeah, and he comes home and she's just like, don't push it.
Yeah.
Like, just don't
And then
ask.
he
And he
just
just leaves it
takes
alone.
Shannon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I
Same.
mean, she doesn't know it's his wife, but like, hey.
He
And she's
knows.
hiding out with the president and with the president of the Stone Riders Club when the series starts. So, like, she has even more knowledge. Make it make sense.
It was hard for me to believe that he stayed away from her the way he was so obsessed with her, and then like how he stalked her. Like their draw to each other, and for him to like stare at her from across the street and her stand there was hard for me to fathom, like a little
Yeah.
bit, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that she had a whole ass motorcycle, her little yellow ninja
Right. Oh,
motorcycle
yeah.
that she had hidden.
Yeah,
Like, she had a
that none
room.
of
About
his,
that.
yeah.
But
That
nobody.
none of his guys knew about. She was
Right.
like, ha ha, I didn't, you didn't know about it. And he's like, well,
Yeah.
now we feel real stupid.
But, like, she hid that for 2 years.
Yeah. And drove on her moped that he left her the rest of the time.
Yeah. And also, doesn't it rain in Virginia? How are you getting around on a
It
moped
does.
all the time? I don't know.
It also
They're
snows in
fabulous. Well,
Virginia.
she did say that her I think she caught rides occasionally with her coworker.
Yeah.
So, but
Okay, so we have to talk about the epilogue because I do think that this is a great example of an epilogue and what an epilogue should be. Because it wasn't needed to reaffirm the HEA. It tied up some of the loose ends, mostly from the previous books.
yeah.
So I do feel like we got a really good example of an epilogue, what it should be, and not what we tend to get.
Yeah, and I think it's also because it was a series epilogue, right? Because this is the last book in the series.
It is.
Okay.
Now, do you think the series will spin off? Because I'm curious if she's going to spin off to the New York MC Club.
I think so. I think, she set it up where she could spin off to that, or she could even spin off to one of the other clubs if she wanted
Yeah,
to.
there's a lot of options.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think she is too.
I just didn't know if you thought there'd be a spinoff. So, Amanda, as you have read the whole series, did you find that epilogue to be satisfying? Did it help answer questions for you?
I don't think I had any questions necessarily, but it did help kind of give that look into the other couples like in the future. So I appreciated it. I always like that at the end of a series. So I enjoyed it.
Just real quick, what was your thoughts on the chemistry between Silas and Natty? Like, do you think this book kept the chemistry and the momentum going forward? Or do you think the chemistry was pocketed? Like, we'd have a pocket of chemistry, it was really great, but then the next three scenes, it was like, I'm gonna wash my hair tonight and I have a headache. Like, how do you feel about the chemistry? Because I'll let you know how I feel.
Well, I have a pretty good idea how you feel
I've thought about
now.
it. I just think the chemistry between the two of them was very inconsistent.
I would agree. Like, and he definitely seemed obsessed with her from the start, and then she kind of didn't get it. And I'm like, really? Like, how dumb are you?
But he's so obsessed that he's not even trying to talk to her in any way or get. Like, he's supposed to be this amazing poet and they have this special spot. Why is he not leaving her notes?
Or have a burner phone or something. Yeah.
Something just to continue with that moment. Does that make sense? Heather's all like,
Yes.
guys, they
I
did
think
the
it does.
sex. It's great.
I agree. I couldn't understand the 2 year separation of not.
Yeah.
I mean,
No communication.
they know how to speak and write in Latin.
Right.
Let's use
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. Like, I imagine, a journal hidden in a steel pail by the lake where there was a special spot that they could have gone, even through all of this, like throughout the four books, something that we as a reader were getting those moments to continue on to that chemistry because that 2 years and him able to be like, keep his distance, but watch from a distance kind of thing. Do you
think? Yeah, and that could have even been like a device where they told the story that way instead of like flashbacks.
Yep.
I had this conversation with my husband because I was like, so if like my life was threatened and the only way to save it was to like send me away, would you do that? Like no communication. And he was like, oh yeah. And I'm like, well, that's good, but I would probably kill you. And then like whoever's out to kill me is going to kill me too. And like problem solved. Like I cannot.
My husband's like 2 years of not talking to you. Be real hard. I wonder how I get through.
Now, see, it's funny because Mike would be the Jenny in our situation. He'd be like, no, we'd go and we'd hide together and we'd be together. And I'd be like, see ya. I'll be back in 2 years. I can stalk you from afar. So.
Interesting.
Amanda, are you the leaver or the stayer?
Oh, I don't know. I think we're both like the saver. Like, I don't know. I don't even know. We'd both be like, okay, can everybody just leave? We would be the people that ran away and just
hit out,
like, left it all behind.
Get new identities. Yeah.
I think the other piece that really maybe for us as adults who are older and wiser and have lived experience, it's different for us because they were young. I mean,
yeah, they're really young. Like
they're super young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he also trusts his mom. And I think through that process has realized that he couldn't trust his mom because she wasn't really necessarily looking out for his best interest. She was playing a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is a piece of shit. Okay. Is there anything else in this book that you would like to talk about before I make you tell me thumbs up, thumbs down? Okay, so thumbs up, thumbs down. Did you like this book? Would you read another Ashley Muniz? What are your thoughts, Jenny?
Thumbs up.
Okay.
It's not my normal read, but yeah, I didn't mind it. And it definitely moves fast. Like, the flashbacks break it up, but...
Yeah. What about you, Amanda? Is this an author you'd pick up again?
I will read stuff from her again, but I'm going to give this one a thumbs down.
Okay.
I could have not read this and been fine. I didn't. I probably like did myself a disservice reading all three of them before this one, because I had a favorite, obviously, and I didn't really like Silas. And I think right now too, so I will also caveat this, that I am not really in a place like mentally to read something with this kind of emotional darkness and damage right now. So it was, I think that's probably also pushing my thumbs down. So just, you know,
but it's valid. It's valid because, you know, many of us are mood readers. Many of us, current life and circumstance can affect us. And I absolutely feel like the thumbs down is valid, particularly because you had read the previous books. So you saw potential, but then to read this with a character that really needed some redemption, we did not get redemption. Heather, what are your thoughts? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Would you read Ashley Muniz again?
Yeah, I would give it a thumbs up. I don't think I could binge the series. I feel like this was very thick. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's very emotionally thick and sort of dark.
It's heavy.
It's heavy. Yeah. I could not binge the series. So I think that I would go back, but I don't think I could read them consecutively.
I will say Ashley Muniz does like to play with emotion. I read the one book that was the small town widow book that she did. And again, deals with some heavy topics and a lot of emotion. And I'm actually with Amanda on this one. This was a thumbs down for me. I actually felt like this was kind of a disappointment to the end of this series. Because like her, I didn't read book three, but I loved book two.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was just so incredibly well done and there were less flashbacks. And I think that that's the key for me. I never want to say that I'm done with an author, right? Like I try to be really, but it would have to be exceptional and it would have to be someone saying, oh my God, this is the best book. You got to read this. I think to have me pulling that trigger. I'm Especially if we're going to see so many flashbacks, because the other small town book I read of hers was full of flashbacks.
Oh.
And I think that that's part of her writing style, and I don't think she does it well enough to make it her writing style, in my opinion.
Like, this was my first book by her, so.
Same. Yeah. So I think, because Heather and I like came at it from a different perspective. Right. So,
Yeah. You both just came into it at book four. It was what it was. But after having it, just for me, two previous books of nothing but alternating flashbacks to present time, it was just, it was a lot.
Yeah. And even for me, like book three was, I didn't enjoy book three as much as I did one and two. Yeah. So it was like it was a steady decline for me. So I liked book one, I loved book two, and it started to go downhill for me with book three.
Yeah, and I just was not invested in the characters in book three, so I didn't pick it up. No. But if you did like this book, or you're trying to dabble a little bit into Motorcycle Club, we have a couple books we think you should check out, but also stick around, because in November, we will be back with an episode covering lots of Motorcycle Club romances. But does anybody have any titles they think are comparable that people should check out?
I had the Clifton Forge series by Devney Perry. I think if people enjoy the first two books in this one, that they would probably really like the Clifton Forge series by Devney Perry. There is an overarching story line with the first, I think, like four or five books with that series, maybe like four books in that series, but then it kind of goes away from it.
I really think that Misty Walker's Royal Bastard MC series fits into this. It's a 1%. It's a little dark. There's a lot of violence. There is a lot more power play into that series. So if that power dynamic is not something you're into, that would not be a series for you. If you don't care if your Motorcycle Club ever drives a motorcycle, then Jenny and I think you should check out Tarnished Angels by Emma Slate.
They might in other books.
In book one, they do not.
Not in the first book.
The Twisted Rose series by Eva Simmons. It's MC adjacent, but they actually ride motorcycles. And it kind of has that family dynamic and that history. And there are flashbacks in that book, but it's well
done. Emma Slate one's not very spicy though, right?
No, it was pretty spicy.
Was it? The Savage Kings is a really great series by Lane Hart and D.B. West. The audios are actually really good also. So if you're an audiobook person, Kristen Allen has a bunch of series. So she has like an Iowa series, I think, but she has a Texas series. And she has audiobooks that are really good too. And I really like her.
I'm reading... Leah and I are getting ready to do a quick shot on one of Rebecca Sharpe's in the Vigilantes series. And there are motorcycle
bikers.
What?
Are those all bikers in that
they
series?
They are. Okay. They're motorcycle bikers that do good, that are like vigilantes that are trying to like seek justice. I'm really impressed. I have the audiobook that I'm doing and it's really well done. So there's that. Shell Bliss.
Jenny St. James also has some good ones.
Yeah.
She does.
Shell Bliss also has some Motorcycle Club books. Okay, like we said, make sure you come back. If you enjoy MC books, come back and visit us in November. We'll be all about Motorcycle Clubs. We have a whole episode. Okay. Make sure you join us on Sunday. We are going to talk about rom-coms and the fish out of water trope. I think it's just Jenny and I. But we're going to break down rom-coms and fish out of water, which if you think about some of like your favorite TV shows, like if you loved Schitt's Creek, then fish out of water is something you would like. So we're going to talk about that and a little bit of kind of some comp titles and such for the idea of fish out of water. Next Wednesday, we're back with our buzzing book club pick, The Brazen One by Daisy Jane. this Saturday is book club. I have to tell you the funniest story, you guys. So, you know, like the week before book club, the Sunday before book club, I always send out the email with the drinks, you know, and all the rules just to remind everybody, right? Yeah. I got the sweetest email back from Daisy Jane. She was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I cannot wait to hang out with you guys. Also, can I share these drink recipes? Because these are amazing. And I'm like, sure. Like, sure. She's like, I'll credit you. I'm like, I don't care. It's fine. I've been making up drinks for 4 years. And this is the first time that an author was like, oh my God, I can't wait. I love all these drinks. So
and friends, she can write the spice.
She does have some spicy books. That DNF series. Anyway, kinky, sexy, super spicy, not a lot of plot.
You know, sometimes you don't need plot, Becky.
I understand.
Sometimes that. You just need, you know.
I mean, why?
I like the plot, but, you know.
Why are we wasting the pages on character development? Nobody's got time for that.
Okay, I didn't say character.
I really am not sure. So I read the Brazen one. Have you guys read it yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really not 100% sure how we're going to do a whole episode because there's a lot of spice.
Again, I don't see a problem with it.
We will be critiquing sex scenes next week.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing we have to tiptoe quietly around. Yeah.
I say we just be out loud and say all the words outside. Okay, so if you join us, make sure you're here Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Come back on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. We're gonna talk about The Brazen One by Daisy Jane. We're super excited. For a list of books talked about this on this episode, please visit our on the shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can find the current list of books that we are reading for our upcoming Wednesday episodes on the website. November is all out of this world. We've got PNR Monsters. October. Or October. What did I say?
November.
If you
we have to hit October
1st. November's lineup will be announced October 1st, but you can vote for your favorite beard over on our website right now. I think that closes at the end of the week. Anyway, you can find stuff on our website. Go to our website. It knows more than I do. Don't forget to follow us on social media for updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. If you like this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Like this video and share it if you're watching it on the YouTube. Your support continues to help us bring you more content every week. Right? Okay.
Yes. Because who would want to miss this?
Because filming.
Sure, everyone can follow along just perfectly.
Because we're not awkward or weird or nothing. Yeah. It's totally normal. Anyway, thanks everybody for hanging out and reading Where We End by Ashley Muniz. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.